Let's begin. We're up to Perek Tes Vav. We're up to, let's review the Pasuk Tes Vav. Tes Vav, Tes Vav. Good morning. Good morning, how are you? Okay. Perek Tes Vav, Pasuk Tes Vav. Af, Heim Bikto Yishov Lo Yamin, V'Shamayim Lo Yizaku V'Einov. And we read Pasuk Tes Vav together with Pasuk Tes Zayin. Af ki nisaf, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not have faith in His Holy Ones, and if the heavens in the eyes of Hashem are not pure, af, how much more so, ki nisaf v'nelach, how much more so is it hated, and v'nelach is it hated and disgusted. Nelach is another word for nisaf, loshon megu'al. It is a detestable ish, a human being who is shoseh hamayim, who drinks like water, avlo sin. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu does not have faith in his kedoshav, in the malachim, how much more so when a Kadosh Baruch Hu does not view the heavens with any degree of any maila, the heavens are in his eyes are not considered to be pure, how much more so does a Kadosh Baruch Hu consider man to be nisa v'nelach? Okay, let's take a look at the Mitzudos Tavit Pasik Tezvav. Hein b'kedoshav, hinei, b'malachav ha-kedoshim lo nosan bohem kiyam ba'atzmam, b'bal yitztarchu b'chol eis hashbas eloka. The Mitzudos learns the Pasik. The Mitzudos learns the Pasik a little bit different than we would expect. He says that the malachim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire that they should continue to exist. It's something that we take as a given, but over here the Mitzudos emphasizes that this is what the Pasuk, the idea is a simple idea, it's an obvious thing, but the Mitzudos is telling us this is what the Pasuk means. That the Malach of HaKadosh, of Lo Nosan Bohem Kiyim Biatzim, the Malachim do not have their own independent existence. The only reason why the Malachim exist is because the Baal Yitztachu B'chol Eis Hashbos Eloka, they need to come on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire that they continue to exist. B'shamayim, Tzvah HaShamayim, the heavens, the hosts of the heavens, Imki Zakim Ubihirim, despite the fact that they're pure and they're clear. Heima, Hine Be'enav Lo Yizku, in Hashem's eyes, the heavens have no value. V'yimkein L'chulam Yasik HaChason L'mulo, all of these two items, the Malachim and the heavens, from the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are considered to be nothing, have a deficiency. Af ki, so much more so, kol shekein ha'adam hanisa b'masav, a human being. Now, according to the Mitzudos, the word nisav is going on ish. See, when I translated the pasuk, I translated it not like the Mitzudos. I told you, af, how much more so, ki nisav is it hated. Is it disgusting and detestable in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a human being who is shoseh kamayim avla? That's not what the Mitzvah says. The Mitzvah says that the word nisav and nelach is a description of man. A human being who by definition is nisav and nelach, he is af, how much more so, we have to add into the pasuk, how much more so is he considered in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu insignificant, meaningless. So, af, let's go inside again. Af, pasuk hazayin, and the Mitzvah is af, kol shekein, ha'adam, a human being, hanisav b'masav, a human being who by nature is nisav, is hated in his deeds. Man's deeds are sinful, are corrupt. V'hanivash b'ma'alolav also is another word for his deeds, and nivash means disgusting. Comes from the word, the Mitzvah says, I think, megu'al, means. Okay, the marbe lasois ovel, man continues to commit sin. Kederech, how much sin does man do? Man is intoxicated. Man is intoxicated with sin. He commits sin like a person drinks water, and not just any water that is for free. Umarbe lasois ovel kederech hashois esamayim asher yarbe lishtois de sipuko. A human being has a tendency to drink water until he's satisfied. Al ki ein haderech lo seis ba'ado mechir, because water is free. If a person had to pay for water, then most people would be dehydrated. because people would not be willing to pay the price. It's not worth the price to pay water to fill yourself up. But being that water is free, or at least it used to be free, so man has no qualms about drinking his fill. The and the pasuk here is telling us that a human being commits sin like he drinks free water. That, and therefore, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, man is certainly worthless. He's worthless. If the heavens are worthless in Hashem's eyes, which even though they're pure and they're beautiful, and if the malachim, they're holy, they're worthless in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, how much more so man who fills himself up with sin continuously is also have no value in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'im kol eila bo im ken, if all of these problems are within man is nisa v'nelach and he's shayse k'may ma'avla v'im kol eila bo im ken kol shekeinu sheyesh lo chesaron rav mul shleimus hamakom Baruch Hu. So certainly man is deficient k'neged the perfection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The eich im kein yitzdok, how then can man dear declare himself righteous in this world? Okay, now let's see Rashi for these two psukim. Rashi says Mo eno pasuk tezvav v'shamayim tzvo hashamayim the host of heaven zaku it's haru, they shine. Although the heavens in their zaku, their purity, in their shine, kol loshon zaku tzohar, like we have in the teva tzohar tasela teva. So tzohar there means a window, a light. So pure. So here it means and pure here in this context means it shines. So even though the heavens shine, yet in Hashem's eyes they have no value. Af kol shekein, how much more so is man who is nela, who is nisav nelach, man who is hated and detestable. Nisav umeurvav, nisav means hated, umeurvav means confused. Okay, or umeurv. Mu'urba. Mu'urba means mixed. V'chol v'chein kulo sog yachdav ne'lachu. All of them together ne'lachu. They are ne'lachu until there means they're all they're dirty. They're dirty and they're ugly and they're.
Sog is like sigin, impurity. So mu'urba means probably also means tainted or impure.
Kuloi sog, kama, yachdav, together, ne'alachu, together they make themselves ugly. Together they make themselves disgusting. They make themselves detestable. They're just showing an example. The word ne'alach means something which is detestable. If you look at the Targum, the Targum, misso'ef. Misso'ef means hated. Or disgusting.
It's just a substitute for the
okay, nisav is mirochek, man is distant, and misoev is disgusting. Ishoiseh, okay, next words of Rashi, there is no more Rashi. Okay, let's go now to the next pasuk Yidzai. Now, Eliphaz begins to relate a new idea, and this idea goes on for a very, very long time. Goes on all the way to the end of the parak. It's a very long parak, and he begins with his introduction is, Achavcha, let me speak. The word achavcha means to speak, like yichavedas. Yichavedas means to speak knowledge. So here he begins, he introduces a new idea. Achavcha, I will speak to you, Eoif. Shmali, pay close attention, listen to me. V'zechozisi v'asapeh, what I'm about to tell you is a vision. We learned in the previous program that Eliphaz told the Eoif, I had a vision. I had a vision, or I'm not sure he had a vision, I don't remember exactly, but one of the three friends said that something came to them in a vision, and what they're saying is L'pi Ruach HaKodesh, and they should take it seriously. So here Eliphaz is doing the same thing. I'm going to speak, Achavcha, I'm going to speak to you, Shmali, listen to me, V'zechozisi, the following that I'm going to tell you comes from a holy source, comes from a vision, V'asapera, and I will relate it to you now. Pasuk Yizayin in the Mitzudos, Achavcha, Agid l'cha davar, I will tell you a matter, ushma ilai, and listen carefully to me, v'zeh sheri isi be'enai asaper l'cha. The Mitzudos says that it's not a vision. I told you another interpretation, someone else says that, is referring to a chazoin of nevuah, but the Mitzudos says, I had this vision in my mind. Okay, what I see fit inside, v'zeh sheri isi be'enai asaper l'cha. Pasik, Rashi, no Rashi. Pasuk Yudches. Now he says, "I'm telling you, it's rock solid." How do I know it's rock solid? Because it's not only my idea; it comes to me from my predecessors, and my predecessors they have related this to me not from their own insight, but they have received this from their predecessors, from their parents, their grandparents, and the knowledge and the idea, the concept that I'm going to present is rock solid. The proof is it's been passed down for many generations. Asher chachomim yagidu, the chachomim have declared, have made the following known. They have made it known to others. V'lo chichadu me'avosam, and they did not fabricate lies from their parents. Meaning that this knowledge that I'm going to tell you has been passed down to me from my parents and their parents from their parents. And it's not possible it would survive the test of time if it was not true. Lies, you can only lie. Lies can only last a certain amount of time. Chazal always tell us that sheker is davar she'ein lo kiyam. The three letters of sheker all stand on a point. Shin stands on a teeny little point. A kuf stands on a point. Think of the letters shin, kuf, and resh. All three letters stand on a point. In contrast to ns, aleph, mem, tav, each letter has two legs. Each letter stands solid. Another example the Gemara gives, the ms is the first letter of the aleph base, the middle letter of the aleph base, and the last letter of the aleph base. Whereas shin, kuf, resh are three letters in the aleph base which are next to each other. Okay, it's not in the right order, but shin, kuf, resh is kuf, resh, shin. Those three letters are next to each other. They have no permanence. It's extremely weak. It's not something which is spread out throughout the entire aleph base and has only one leg. Sheker is not something which can survive for a very long time. You only can fool a person for a short amount of time. Eventually they'll discover the truth and you'll be discredited. The fact that I'm telling you something which has passed the test of time and passed down through many generations, it itself is a revelation that it is 100% true. It's rock solid. Asher chacham yagidu luvoloi chichad, they did not lie, me avoy sam. Mitzudas pasig yud ches. Asher chacham yagidu musav lomalo loemar. Asap alucha, this pasig goes back to what it said in the previous pasuk. I'm going to tell you, relate to you something now. Mashari, you see what I have seen. B'chush hadavar. Number one, what I'm telling you, I sense. Chush means I sense. I sense that this is true. B'davar. And not only do I sense it's true, it's also been passed down from my forefathers. Asher yagidu chachamim. And has been revealed, this information, by the chachamim. V'loy manu milasaper. And the chachamim, the wise men who have revealed this to me, which I myself can sense is true, it's not original. V'loy manu milasaper. They did not hold back from holding masha kiblu me'avosam, what they have received from their forefathers. Rashi. Now Rashi has a whole different interpretation. It's more midrashic. We're going to leave Rashi for a moment. Let's just go do a few more psukim, and then we'll come back to Rashi's mahalach in these psukim. Pasik yotes lohem levadam nitna haaretz v'loy avar zor b'socham. According to the Mitzudas, this is a very powerful expression of declaring that the statement is 100% true. There is no fraction of sheker mixed. The zor b'socham here means liars, people who are corrupt, people who are not true to their word, have not mingled with the information that is being passed down from the chacham. Lohem levadam, to these wise men, nitna haaretz, was the land given. Meaning this information comes from the original people who populated the earth. Going all the way back to Adam Harishon and his family, they are the ones who were the first people on this world, and they populated the earth, and they have passed down the information all the way down to us. It has passed the test of time. V'loy ovar zor b'socham, strangers who practice falsehood have not mingled with the people who have possessed the earth. Let's take a look at the Mitzudas and more elaboration. Pasuk Yutes, lohem levadam, hachachomim hohem. These wise men, moshlo, have ruled b'roiv chochmasam al kol ha'olam. Okay, it's a little bit different what I said. Their knowledge has given them the ability to control the world. Ki'ilu, as if lohem levadam nitnar, it's as if the world was given to them. What does that mean? These people, they rule the world. They rule the world with their chokhmah. Ucha oimer. We have no idea who they are exactly. We don't know. So that's why Rashi was very disturbed with this type of approach to say that we're just dealing with abstract wise men who have received knowledge. Let's finish with the Mitzvah. What does this mean to say? Since these people have received this matter from their forefathers, the ain derech ha'av lehashrish dover cause of belief haben. It's not the derech of the world for a father to teach his son falsehood. V'amakablim hayu chachamim gedolam maskilim, and the people, the children, were also known. They were accepted in the world to be maskilim. Okay, it doesn't mean the maskilim from before the war. It means people that are extremely wise and clever, live chayin to emes, and they had the ability on their own to analyze the truth, to discern if it's true, if it's false. I'm also part of this club. My own eyes, I sense myself that this information has been passed down to these generations is true. Im kein bevadai. MS Nochon Hadavar. I can be certain that the matter that I'm about to tell you is 100% correct. Okay, it's a very strange metaphor. We have here what he's saying, that the people here, Lohem Levadam Nitna Haaretz V'Le'ovar Zar B'Soicham, an exclusive club. Very strange. An exclusive club of people who are so wise, and due to their wisdom, they were able to control the entire world, and they have excluded anyone that's not a wise man from their group. There are different clubs. At least there are different clubs out there. You have to have a certain IQ to be part of a club. What's the name of the, you know, the So that's what he's trying to suggest over here, that this chachma has come from them. And Eliphaz says, Gamani Besoicham. I'm also a member of this club because I can sense that this is true. Therefore, all these two psukim, Pasuk Yud Ches and Pasuk, really Pasuk Yud Zayin, Yud Ches and Yud Tes, is a hakdama to what I'm about to tell you now. I just want to emphasize, he's telling Eliyahu, I'm going to tell you something, pay close attention, because it's rock solid information. And now Pasuk Chaf begins the idea. The idea begins to be presented. But before, let's see.
Do you have the Medrash on this?
I don't have in front of me my Medrash. Yeah? Yeah, it's Rashi. We're going to come down in a few moments. That's Rashi. Let's do right now. Okay, so Rashi now says a different idea. Let's take a look at Rashi. Pasuk Yuchas, Asher Chacham Yagidu. So according to Rashi, it's not a Hagdama. He's already giving Musar to Eoif. He's telling if Eoif, Let's get things straight here. You are a very wicked person. Why don't you already come to terms with this that we've been pounding away for the last 14 parakim and just confess? You're a stubborn mule. You don't want to confess that you are guilty. You keep on claiming you have done nothing wrong. Look at the great people of the past, referring, we'll see, specifically to Yehuda, who said Tzadka Mimeni, and to Reuven, who confessed to playing around with the bed of his father Yaakov. They confessed, they acknowledged they have committed a sin, and due to their confession, they merited very great things.
But they knew they did something wrong.
So that's exactly the point.
He's the guy saying here, I didn't do anything wrong.
That's exactly the point. He's telling him, you did do something wrong, and you should come to terms with this and confess.
What did he do wrong?
Whatever happened to positive reinforcement?
Different generation. It's a different generation. We live in a generation of no child can be left behind. You're touching upon something very. I read an article recently, and this is what the person who wrote this article claims, that in the previous generation, the derech was you wanted to produce great people, gems. And it was worth everything in the world to produce a Gadol Hadar, even if it meant at the expense, not only going with and behind, that's one thing, the other people would literally go off the derech. Can you imagine such an extreme statement? Let's say you have 1,000 Talmidim, 1,000 Talmidim in the yeshiva, it's Kedai to produce one Gadol Hadar at the expense of causing the other 999 people, literally, I don't want to say because I wanted to get into trouble, they'll go off the derech. They won't even be Shomer Torah Mitzvah. It's Kedai. Today, this is absurd to us. It's absurd. No child, and today the approach is no one should be a Gadol Hadar. It's Kedai that no one should be God, no one should be even no one should even reach even the minimal degree of anything, just to make sure that every single person we have the lowest common denominator. We know, although it's meaningless. We all know that's meaningless.
There are other experiments. Yeshiva here to raise Balabat.
Going.
Yeshiva is not here to raise Balabat.
It's here to produce Gedolei Hadar, and if everyone else and if everyone else can fall the wayside, too bad for them. Today that is unacceptable. Today we live in a world of accountability and
what accountability?
Today it's a different it's a different derech, a different derech.
No.
We're not going there. No. I probably agree with everything you say, but we're not going there.
Generational segmentation and specialization.
I don't know if I'd like
to. If you're not specializing, you bring us the.
Okay, let's go further. He's telling him, you should be no different than Yehuda and Reuven. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi, Achshacham Yagidu V'Yisvadu Pisham. Look at the great ones. Look at the great people. Look at the great people who have confessed their sin. They did not deny. They did not cover up their sins. May I avoid some from our forefathers. Zeh HaSheri, see, this is what Eliphaz says, this is what I have seen in my lifetime. The Hinani Asapir Luchan, I'll tell you. Hechon Reisi, where did Eliphaz see that? Where did Eliphaz see that there were people like, now Eliphaz, he was the son of Esav, he was a contemporary, I guess, with Yehuda. Hechon Reisi, Yehuda Hoda. Look at Yehuda. Yehuda confessed, V'loi Bush, B'masa Tamar. He was not embarrassed. He said, Sadka Mimeni. Reuven Hoda, Reuven confessed, V'loi Bush, B'masa Bila. What was the reward? This, I guess, the derech of Rashi and Eov is the after continue the pasukim. You can't stop in the middle of a pasuk. You got to go into the next. But what was the reward? The reward was pasuk yutes lohem levadom nidna haaretz bischarze. This is an amazing thing to say. What was the schus that the shvatim possessed the Eretz Yisrael? Bischarze zocher Yehuda l'malchus netzach. He was zoche to malchus. He was zoche to be the melech. V'nalu and he became the melech because he confessed.
What did Reuven become?
What, let's say, name Reuven, maybe, what was special about Reuven? I don't know. Doesn't say. Reuven and Levi. V'nalushneim min hanachla chelkam. They both received their portion. They were not denied from their inheritance of the land. After they confessed, so seemingly this was they would have lost it. Seemingly they would have lost their chelik in Eretz Yisrael. They would have. The sin of Yehuda and Tamar and the sin of Reuven seemingly would have been enough of a reason for them not to get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. It's only because they confessed, they repossessed, it was given back to them their land. That's what the pasuk says. Yeah.
Another version here in.
Let's do one more pasuk. We'll come to that part. V'ovar zar b'soicham. Now, what does that mean? A zar did not come among them. Moshe, kishabo Moshe levarcham shnemar yichi Reuven. When you may give him a bracha, yichi Reuven v'al yomos v'zos lihuda. Moshe did not take away from them what they rightfully deserve. That's the zar. So in this pasuk, it's fascinating that the zar is Moshe. Who wrote Sefer Iyov? Moshe, according to the most popular interpretation. So over here, Moses is referencing himself as the Tzar. Dover Acher, but the Avar Tzar B'Soicham, Benachla Shel Osid Lava. If you learn Sefer Yecheskel, we know that Levi does not have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Right? That's a pasuk. But if you learn Sefer Yecheskel, he's going to, and during the time of the Bayis Shlishi, the linen is going to be redivided in different boundaries, and Levi gets a very significant portion of Eretz Yisrael. So here, when it says v'loy de'avar zabesachem benachla shel osel lavoi hachaluka b'sefer, which is presented in the Sefer Yecheskel. Okay, so well, let's review what we have over here in this pasuk. According to the Mitzudos, when it talks about the Chachamim, we're discussing an exclusive group of geniuses. Asher, lohem levadin ha'aretz, that do the proof that they're such geniuses, they're able to possess, they're able to control the entire world. Power, wisdom is power. Power is wisdom. Power is knowledge. Their knowledge gave them the power to control the world, and they have passed this down to their children, their grandchildren. I'm one of them. And fools need not apply to this exclusive group. And the information I'm presenting you comes from this exclusive group of wise men who control the world. The Rashi's Medrash, the Chachamim are our forefathers, specifically Reuven and Yehuda. And they have confessed. And due to their confession, they were given the land. The land means they did not lose the Chilek in Eretz Yisrael. V'le'ovar Zor B'Soicham, Zor B'Soicham, according to Rashi's first interpretation, is Moshe Rabbeinu, he did not deny the bracha from them when he gave the bracha to Klal Yisrael. And the second interpretation is that their land is exclusive to them. When Moshiach comes, Reuven and Yehuda, Reuven and Levi will receive a portion of the land, and no one will share their portion with them.
So he's telling to you that,
and therefore, Eov, therefore, learn from you, confess, and if you'll confess, maybe there's hope for you. There'll be some hope for you. What the hope will be, we don't know. Yeah.
Slight variation I assume that
Yechir, it's a little bit of Rashi.
Because, yeah. When it says Mitnoha Aretz, it means in the same sense as Leolam Yershu Aretz, as referring to Olam Haba.
Okay.
You also couldn't be talking about Moshe and Halukas Aretz, because if you say this was before Mashiach or whatever,
yeah. No, but it was a promise. It was a haftacha. It was a haftacha. The brachos, Reuven was talking
about Yehoyadin. Convince him, so he's
gonna confess. Okay. Yeah. Now the targum is just a little bit different. Just look at the targum. Pasuk Yudches. Who are the chachanim? Okay, so Targum Pasuk Yudches Ti Chakima Yichavun V'lo Mechabdin Min. Okay, the first Yichavun is correct. Okay, the first parish of the Targum is Di Chakimaya Yichavun. These wise men are correct. V'lo Mechabdin, they do not Mechabdin Min Masorta De Avoson. They do not deviate from the traditions of their father. Okay, that's very similar to what the Mitzvah says. And then the Targum Acher, in the second interpretation, Dishivtoi Diyakov. He's not referring specifically to Reuven and Yehuda. He's referring to all of the Shvatim. Chakimaya Yisuvun V'lo Yichasu Mimad Alfun Avosan. We're referring over learn from the Shvatim. He's not being specific to any one of the Shvatim of Reuven and Yehuda, seemingly, the information that he's going to express now, the next psukim, has been passed down from the Shvatim, from the Shiftei Ka. They were the ones who originated this novel idea that he's going to present now, and therefore, since they were given Eretz Yisrael, Hashem obviously held from them, and you should have trust in what I'm about to tell you.
Is Reuven's confession recorded in the Torah? Yehuda's is. I don't recall seeing Reuven's confession that he did something wrong.
I don't think it's explicit. It's hinted to when Reuven was not present at Mechiras Yosef. Reuven went to he was not present. He went to be mispal. Why wasn't Reuven present when they actually sold him? Reuven gave them the idea they should throw him into the pit. Do not kill him. So why didn't he? And why was this plan the pasuk? Because he wanted to return him to his father. So why didn't he return him to his father? He stepped out. Where did he go? Doesn't say in the Torah where he went. So it's not explicit. But Chazal tell us he went to do tshuva, for moving his father's bed.
So if he did tshuva, then why did Yaakov rebuke him?
Why did Yaakov? Because he had another Aveira, because he was violent. He was violent. No, that was Shimon Levi. That was Shimon. Why? Why did he rebuke him? Because there are many parts to tshuva. You have to. There is. Okay, I don't know. There are many parts to tshuva.
Yeah. What about the other part? They didn't admit about Yosef, about Mechiras Yosef. They lied about it.
So you're asking another question about Mechira.
They're quiet, they hid it, if it was our love.
We're suffering, not Yamazeh, we're still suffering from Mechira Yosef, not Yamazeh, every generation. I hear your question. So he's focusing specifically on these two. You're right, so why are they different? They also sin. I don't know the answer.
The Mitzudis
is a general shot. I'm just saying that I have information, I'm presenting information that comes from a reliable source. Right? In the world of intelligence. The world of intelligence, there's a code. Yeah, I read these in Ami magazine. I know you don't like that magazine, but they have here a conspiracy.
Hamburger.
No.
You mean John Loftus?
Yeah, John. What's his name?
Loftus.
His name is. So he writes a fascinating column every week about all these crazy things, all these conspiracies. And the last issue he wrote about in the world of intelligence, when you report to your superiors, to your handlers, there are different codes to reveal how reliable the information is. Oh, it's very fascinating, all the different codes. And what he's telling this information, it's rock solid. It comes from a reliable source, and it was always reliable. There's a whole series of how they define reliability. He has a chazaka. We have a chazaka of chazaka. Of course they pay him. Boy, this is for free. It's not Kailo. Yeah. Yeah. He confessed.
Trying to be more to them to do tshuva.
It's like he did tshuva. That's already a remnant that he did tshuva. Midah was a midah of tshuva. Okay, so it's a little bit, it's hinted to in the Torah. Okay, let's go for that. Now, what is the big message? After all this long, long, long-winded hakdama, what's the big message? So the big message is a difficult message, and it's hard to really connect what he's trying to tell Eev. The basic idea is a Rasha doesn't really have a good life. There's no such thing as a wicked person really enjoying life in this world. We look around and we see wicked people, and they appear to be very successful. But the truth is, deep down inside, they're terrified. They know that their lives are a lie, and eventually their day will come. So they don't have the ability to enjoy the fruits of their labor. So don't be impressed. There's really no such thing as Rosh Avitovlo. That's really the message. Eev is asking the big question. What?
We said the same concept before.
Yeah.
That the person who has everything is always worried.
He's worried. Yeah, but that's different. Eev didn't consider himself to be a Rosh. We express a different concept. Eev said himself, you think they had a good life. You're giving me Musa. Listen, Eev, you had 70 good years. What do you want? So many people don't even live that long. You had 70 good years. So listen, so you're suffering. You're going to die eventually. How long will it take until this illness finishes you off? All right. But look at the good thing. Look at your good life. Eev said back, I never really had a good 70 years because I had a sense, a sixth sense, that something was wrong. I was never able to be an end. But Eev considered himself to be a tzaddik. I'm a tzaddik, and I never had a good life. Now, and Eev complains, but look what's going on out there in the world. They are Rishoim. They are these evil, wicked people, and they have a wonderful life. They have no daigus, no tsaris, nothing to worry about. Eliphaz is telling Eev that's not so. There's really no such thing as Rasha Vitovlo. Because every Rasha knows he's a Rasha. There's no such thing as a person not knowing they're wicked. Every person deep down knows what he is. Make believe, you know what you are. And a Rasha really has no menuchas hanefesh. So there's no such thing in this world as Rasha the Tov Lo. It's a fascinating concept. Now, it doesn't answer the full question, because we also know there's something called Tzadik Viralo. He's not addressing that. Tzadik Viralo, that is really no answer to. Why is it that Tzadikim have a hard time? But what about Russia Vitovlo? No such thing. The Russia doesn't have a good life. And that's what he expressed in the next 20 psukim. Here we go. Kol Yimei Russia Hu Mischoilel. All the days of a Russia, he is in pain and agony. He may put on a big smile. He may drive around in a nice car, live in a nice house. But the truth is, the more wicked a person is, the more life, more he's eaten up by daigos. That's the way it is. All the days of a Rasha mischoilel, he is in a state of extreme pain. Mischoilel means mourning. Umispar shonim, his days, nitzpinu le'aritz, the days, the number of years that are hidden away for the aritz. Aritz is another word for a Rasha. The word aritz means a tyrant. It means someone that doesn't necessarily, it's not doesn't literally mean a Rasha. The word aritz is found in Yeshaya. We learned Yeshaya when we first started here together. It means powerful, but it's used very often in Tanakh as a reference to a wicked person. So Oritz, a tyrant. So here we have an Oritz, parallels the word Rasha, and there are some missing words in the Pasuk, which we have to add in. The number of years, the word Nitzpinu is a hard word, it means hidden, Tzafon. Right, we have in the Haggadah, Tzafon, Tzafon, hidden away. So Nitzpinu has been set aside, and here refers to the number, at least one interpretation, the number of years that has been designated, has been set aside, hidden away for the Rasha, all of those years are filled with pain and suffering. He may put on a smile and appear very happy and successful, but he's full of agony and sorrows. So we're with him. Kol Yimei Rasha, all the days of the Rasha, hu mischoilel. U mispar shanim nitzpinu l'aritz, the days, the number of years that have been hidden away for the aritz, you have to add the words, are filled with mischoilel, are filled with suffering and pain. Let's take a look at Pasuk Chaf in the Mitzvot of it. Pasuk says, Kol Yimei Rasha, the Zehadava. Finally, after this long-winded introduction, I'm going to tell you the message. The following Madrash Reisi, and Reisi Ani, Masha Kibul Chacham Mahim, Me'avoisam. This is the following words of wisdom that have been passed down from the forefathers. Asher Kol Yimei HaRasha, Meleye Mipachat, are filled with terror. Im Ki Yitzlach, good, he's successful, he has plenty of money in his bank account, everything is fine. The truth is, doyeku b'chol eis, he's always worried, pen yagi'ehu hara, suddenly evil will come upon him, umispar hashanim, here he is in all the words that we are missing in the pasuk, and the number of years, asher, nitzpinu, that have been hidden, or have been designated, have been set aside, lahatzlochas he'aritz, to this, for the success of this Russia, of this tyrant. Yimluki, all of this now is being added. These two words are added into the pasuk. If you don't add these two words into the pasuk, it doesn't make any sense. Yimlu chalchola are filled with terror. The kafel hadavar b'milo shonos, the pasuk repeats this idea with multiple words. Okay, so we have over here that part. This pasuk we've just said basically is the summary of the next 20 psukim. Okay, the next 20 psukim we're just going to say the same thing in different words and express it more. But that is the yisoid and if you're complaining about Russia v'toivlo, got great news to tell you. There's no such thing. It's a very profound idea. And we all know to some degree it's true. Ain't tzadik b'resha yastav v'lo yecht. Every single person to some degree has a little bit in him that needs improvement. And that little bit that needs improvement always causes him to have conscious of what we've done wrong, causes him to have daigus in the good things, in the things that we enjoy. And what about tzadik v'tovlo? So if you take this idea to its natural conclusion, you see this idea in a chassidish svarim. You look at a person that has a lot of difficulty in life, and you say to him, "Oh, I feel so bad for you." And he says, "Why do you feel bad for me? I'm the happiest person in the world." A person that lives with emuna. Person is able to be on such a high madrega, one in a million, to have such a emunah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything that you're doing for me is l'toiv, gamzu l'toivah, you can't get him down. no matter what happens to him, he has simcha. He has simcha. This is what Hashem wants. I know it's my best. So there's really also no such thing as tzaddik viralo. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that in this parak. But that's the converse of what it means, Rosh HaVetovlo. A Rosh HaVetovlo is just a show. It's just a charade. It's just facade. Deep down inside, the Rosh is sitting in this beautiful limousine. He has no menuchas hanefesh. He's daigus. What's going to be tomorrow and this stock and that can lose it all. Look at Madoff, right? Everyone looked at Madoff, living on top of the world. The richest person, people would to get an appointment just to have something to do with him. And the whole thing was hocus pocus. And that he confessed. And that daigus, he said. He knew one day it's going to come to an end. So all the great success, all the cover that was being bestowed upon him, he knew it was all just baloney. And on a smaller scale, that's true for every single type of Rasha in the world. The converse of that is every person who is a Ralo, a person that's experiencing difficulty, real tzaris in life, but he's a tzaddik. He has a munah pshut in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's malei simcha. He can't get him down. A profound idea. Who's telling us this? From all people, Eliphaz, the son of Esav, is the one that's revealing this profound knowledge to us. He had good. He had a very well. He watched his grandfather.
He learned
from experience from Esav. Could be Esav in a Chanami. Okay, let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Kol Yimei." Okay, Rashi says. Rashi just elaborates the same idea. Rashi, "Kol Yimei Harasha She'ena Shav Mechetoy Ve'ena Moide Pishav Kol Yomav." All the days of a Rasha, meaning as long as a person. What is a Rasha? Rashi is sort of teaching for us what a Rasha is. You have yet to do tshuva. It's a very interesting idea. We think of a Rasha as a wicked person. No, that's not. Every person has problems. Ain't tzaddik ba'aretz. A Rosh is a person who has not yet done tshuva. As long as you have not yet done tshuva, a person is begin the Rosh. But it's easy just to choose. She'ein oshav mi'chetoy ve'ein amoide pishav kol yamav. Who mischoylel? What? So who's there's no Beinani?
Either
tzaddik or Yerasha. Interesting, okay? Ve'ehu mischoylel. What does the word mischoylel mean? Mischoylel is a term which is used by women in labor. They're in labor pains. Here, but he says, she was terrified. He is in a state of pain over things that have been promised to him. Even though he's guaranteed, his money is insured by the FDIC, there's a haftacha, nothing is going to worry, yet he still has, he's in a state of aninus, in a state of mourning, of pain. He is instead of pain, that ultimately the end of the day will come when he will be punished for his sins, for his deeds. Kol mispar shanim, all of the number of days, asher nitzpinu le'aritz, that have been hidden for the aritz, that have been, Hashem has allotted. Every single person who comes into this world has been given a certain number of days. Who mischolel, he is in a state of pain. The word mischolel, loshen aninus, v'loy shamati, is loshen of aninus, v'loy shamati, I'm not sure what Rashi means, v'loy shamati, I have not heard of a source for this. I don't know what he means. I don't know what Rashi means. Loshen aninus, v'loy shamati. I don't know what he means with loy shamati. Okay, let's now go to the next post. Now he now begins to elaborate in very great detail. Kol pichadim be'oznav, b'shalom shoded yivo enu. What is he here? What does a person hear? You only hear what you want to hear. Person can speak to you. You can see, talk to a person. You talk to a wall. That's the nature of a human being. There are a lot of things going on. You listen to the radio. You know what interests you? When you wake up, you listen. You go in the car. Listen to the radio. And then when you reach your destination, so do the Yankees win, the Yankees lose, what happened? I have no idea. But the radio was playing, didn't you listen, didn't you hear the score? It doesn't interest me. And the person sitting next to him, he'll tell you every single detail, because that is what interests. That is what another person into the stocks, he'll hear the market crashed, the market went close, high, NASDAQ. You hear what you want to hear.
Selective hearing.
So this is a shocking thing. What is the Rasha here? Every person you walk, some people tell me they can't even listen to the radio because I relate to them. The commercials are all about medications and trial and for every type of illness on the earth.
Then the disclaimer.
Someone said to me he cannot turn on the radio, and he's chalishing to listen to the news. But when he hears these commercials, he's an older person, and he goes to the doctor often. It just melts him away. He's terrified. He's terrified to hear the commercials. This, that. If I don't know it, I don't know what's good for me. Bliss is ignorance. Or is it around? Bliss. Ignorance is bliss.
NPR is commercial free.
Commercial free. NPR, but there the content is. The content is depressing. So here is what he says. The message here is that the Rasha, what is the Rasha here? So you would expect the Rasha, when he's listening to the radio, to hear about vacations, a cruise, and a trip to this part of the world and that part of the world. No, the only thing the Rasha hears, the only part of the news that penetrates his mind, is the bad news. Because there's no such thing as a Rasha Vitovlo. That's what he hears, because his neshama, being that he's a Rasha, that causes some type of reaction, a chemical reaction in his neshama. It causes a reaction that the only thing that he's receptive to hearing is bad news in order to set him off and put him in a state of daiga. That's the kol pichodin ba'oznav. The sound of terror is what's in his ear. Bashalom, what is his matzav? He is afraid that bashalom, I'm now in a state of peace. I know that. But any moment, shodeid yivoenu, destruction will come upon me. I know any, you're on guard. Any moment,
or
bandits. Shodeid is a robbery. Robbery. Robbery will come, yivoenu will come upon him. Let's look at the Mitzvot Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Kol pechadim v'asher yogur, he's terrified. Yovulo, that it will come upon him. He's terrified that horrible things will come upon him. Ki yovay be'oznav, it comes in his ears. Kol pichodim, the sound of terror. Upisom, and suddenly, Odo Yeshev Basham, what is he afraid of? He's afraid that suddenly, when he's sitting, Odo Yeshev Basham, he's sitting at his dining room table, and suddenly he'll be surrounded by armed robbers who will. Thieves will take away everything that he possesses. Yavoi Olav Hashoidei, the robber will come upon him. Let's take a look at Rashi, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Yeah. What?
It's paranoia?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. That's the nature of a Rasha. Chaf Aleph, Kol Pichadim Be'oznav Loimar, He Gia Eis Tashlumi. He's terrified, my day has come. I know that Hashem will eventually catch up with me. I'll be punished for my bad deeds, and it's going to happen. B'shalom, uchshuhu, shoy b'shalom. He's terrified that when he's sitting at peace, he's had a time at a party. Oz hashaydeid yivo enu, suddenly the robber will come upon him and take away everything that he owns. Kepasik chof beis. Lo yamid shushuv minei choshech. A Rasha has no hope that he will recover from darkness. He feels that if the stocks go down, so that's it, they'll never go up. That's the way he lives. He's terrified that when a healthy person realizes, at least believes that, okay, you never know, things might not go so well, the stock market might go down today, but listen, I have a moon in a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Goes down today, it'll go up tomorrow more than it went down. So there are ups and downs. That is the outlook of a person who has a moon. Even though today might not be such a good day, there's always a tomorrow. There's always a future, there's always hope for the future. A Rasha, the sins of a Rasha cause his neshama not to be able to see past the immediate future. He's terrified of the inevitable. The bad will come, and there will be no tomorrow. Things will never recover and rebound.
That's below the surface. The appearance is...
Right, that's below the surface. That's exactly the point that Eve is... That's exactly what Eve is coming to say. You think there's something called Rasha v'tovlo? There's no such thing. There is no such thing. There's only... The Rasha, it's just a facade. Lo yamin shuv minichach. She does not believe that shuv, there can be restoration, you can rebound minichoshach after you fall into darkness. V'tzafui, he believes, he's paranoid, that he is exposed. Suffer means to be exposed. Who? Elei Choref. I'm exposed to the sword. I'm just waiting for the bullets to penetrate. I'm waiting for the sword to come upon me and take my life. Let's take a look at Pasuk HaBeis in the Mitzudos. Lo Yamin. Bevoy Lav HaChoshech. The Rasha, when darkness comes upon him, he does not have the ability, it's just not within him, the ability, Lo Yamin Be'atzmo, She'yoshuv Od Mimenu Lachsol L'Kadmuso, that there's a possibility that can be restored, that good days are can come again. V'tzafoy V'hu Nir L'Acher, if he believes that he is exposed, he is open to the sword. He is paranoid of the sword. Everyone is looking at him. He's always a target for someone's sword. Sizim uvolav will come upon him. Rashi pasuk yud pasuk chavbeis v'tzafu hu elei cherev. He is exposed to the sword. V'asid hu elei cherev v'avoyni lanud lalecha. My sins are going to cause me lanud lalecha. I'm going to be a beggar. Lanud means to be a schnorr. I'm going to have to travel and move to be exiled and to go from one location to another location to beg someone to give me a piece of bread. Where will I find bread? That is, well, how could I possibly, he's on top of the world. He's on top of the world. But that's the nature. Since he knows that his assets have come through illegal means, he bothers him that he'll one day have to beg for bread. Pasik Chaf Gimel. No, they know he. Rashi really in the pasuk of Beis really led into pasuk of Gimel. No, they who lalechem ayei. This Rasha, he's terrified. He's worried that he'll have to go into exile and wander to find bread. To ayei, where will ayei means where? Where will I find bread? Now here's a very powerful yoda. This is shalsheles yoda. He knows with certainty, ki nochon biyado yom choshech. It is prepared for him a day of darkness. That's this post today's daf. Yeah, wow! Look at that hashkocha pratis. It is yoda ki nochon biyado yom choshech. It's prepared for him a day of darkness. Now the word yoda here, interesting, has a shalsheles. Okay, a shalsheles. There are very few psukim in Tanakh that have a shalsheles. And so what? I didn't see anywhere in the Farshim that together. How many?
In seven total.
Seven total.
There's four in the Chumash, so there's only three in the. In the Yemitsu.
So and unfortunately, the Sram that I've seen did not. I didn't look thoroughly, but I didn't see a parish. The only thing I can suggest, shalshelis means a chain. It means it's not just certain. It's like it's an emphasis with the utmost certainty. There's nothing more clear in this world as if you're locked up in chains. Shalshelis shel barzel, you can't move, or you when you say shalshelis, you elaborate. You like vayismamo. By Yismamo, all the different times you have they delay, they thought about, they considered. So here, seemingly, it's something which he thinks about for a very long time and has a very deep awareness. The awareness that ki nochon biyodo yom choshech is not superficial. It's something that the Russian knows to be 100% true. Pasuk Chaf Gimel in the Mitzudos. Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Which one? Vayishchot. How long are you going to do shchita? The Gemara says that you can do a shchita. You can do the entire day. The Gemara says you can do it as long as you don't go. You can go back and forth the entire day. Okay. Pasuk of Gimel on the Mitzudos. Noided who noided mimukaymoi ba'avur halechem levakesh ayeyim se'ena. He is concerned that he's going to have to wander from place to place to find his next meal. Yoda, he is absolutely certain. Yodeu hu bi'atzmo sheyoyim ha'choshach yeh nochon. It's prepared. U'miskayim b'yodo ki bi'atzmo yishboit. He himself comes to the conclusion. He now analyzes himself and comes to the conclusion of sher kol se'lov hara, that it is going to come upon him evil. Bavur Zeh, because of the Yosef Lidik B'choleis, he's worrying, he's always in a state of Daiga. So the Rosh does not have an easy life. It's not easy to be a Rosh. It's very true what he says, and it's very profound. And it really answers, it puts a whole new twist on the Rosh of a Toivlat. Look at the Rashi. Rashi Noidid Hu, Kloimar, Muftachu Le Lonud. He's guaranteed to go into exile for Parnasa, Yada Loi Be'emes. He knows with absolute certainty. Why is Rashi say loy be'emes? Maybe Rashi is elaborating upon the shalsheles, this unusual trap, tam. What is the what does it say over here in the Targum? Minadehu limzona honhu yida yida. He just says yida. Doesn't say any extra. Doesn't say emes. This is Rashi. Yodel be emes. Targum says yodahu. He just knows. Arum me'abed biyode yom chashoko. The Targum does not elaborate. Okay, kinocho. Next words of the Rashi kinocho. Umezum and lova biyodo. It's prepared to come into his hand. Kloimar a. Kloimar elov to him v'imo yom hachoshech with him elov v'imo, it's going to come upon him. Two words which mean similarly the same thing. Yom choshech kmo min habab yodo. Yaakov took what came into his possession, items to present as a gift to his brother Esav. He knows that it's within him, that it's going to come upon him in a very short time. Let's do another pasuk. Pasuk yichof dalet. Pasuk of Dal continues the rush. The rush deep down inside. Yiva'asuhu. That's a scary word. Terror. He's terrified. Yiva'asu tsar umitsuka. He's terrified with two different expressions. Tsar is pain. Umitsuka, oppression. These forms of pain terrify him. Tiskefehu. The terror has a hold on him. It overpowers him. Like tekifos. Tekifos means with toughness. This concept of terror, this expression of terror, it's as if the terror is grabbing the Rasha by his head, on his ears, his shoulders, his body is holding on to him. Kimelech, like a king. Now what do you mean like a king? A king...
A king, so...
Okay, we'll see in the Mitzvah, there's different interpretation of what this means. The different interpretation of what this means. A king is always, generally speaking, a king has enemies. And what is the biggest expense of every country? Defense. The United States, how much will probably most of the budget of the United States...
Welfare. Social programs that, is more than
insurance. Not true anymore. No. During the Reagan administration, what was his... It was never the majority of the budget. The majority, but it's very significant. Okay, it's a very significant part. A very significant portion of any government budget. What about in other countries? There it is.
China.
That's really
Russia.
That's it's the entire.
The army is the social.
That's the whole. But in the ancient times, this was the number one concern of the king: is self defense. Why is self defense?
Just.
So, Teretz says because that's the world. Ish esrei eyu chayim below. The nature of the world is everyone's trying to swallow you up alive, and you have to protect yourself. Who feels this threat more than anyone else? The king. The king is responsible for the country, and the king has to surround himself with defense, with means of defense. So here it says tiskefeu kamelech. He is seized with terror like a king. And how does the king respond? He gives away everything he has to surround himself with a line of defense. That's the Rasha. The Rasha, the entire day, he's terrified. When will I be caught? When will all this come to an end? And I have to protect myself. He's in a state of terror. Now the next two words are very difficult words. Okay, we'll try to do a quick at a time. Osid, his destiny is lakidor. Now that's a very difficult word. Rashi says doesn't such a word doesn't appear anywhere else in Tanakh. We'll translate now the way Schwab is like a ball. A kidar is a ball. A kadur is a ball, something which is round. Like a child has a ball, plays with the ball, it rolls. A Rasha has no standing. Just like a ball is not stationary, you just blow on it and it rolls from here to there. Keeps on moving. That's the nature. There's no yishuv hadas. It's no yishuv hadas. The whole day you're just going with the flow. You're moving here, you're moving there. You're in a state of terror. You have daikas. It's a very powerful metaphor to describe the feeling of a rasha. A person likes the most important thing in life is to have yishuv hadas. Your mind should be settled. You have security. No, there's nowhere else. I'll just tell you in advance now. Rashi is very disturbed with this word. Doesn't like this interpretation that it means a ball, something that is round, and doesn't mean that he has no yishuv hadas. Rather, it means read it as if there's a dalet instead of a resh. Kiki dod. Or kiki dud. What does you could mean? A fire. It means osin likidud. His destiny is to burn in Gehenna. That's what it means according to Rashi. Like who? Like Sancheirif. what happened to Sanhedrin and his 180,000 generals? They were all burnt to a crisp. Well, the truth was their neshamas were burnt. Their bodies remained intact, but their neshamas were burnt. So the Rasha realizes that his destiny is going to be together with Sanhedrin, who was burnt. So you have to interchange the Reish with a Dalet. Okay, so we have to really review this in more detail. We have to really review this pasuk again with the Mitzvah, the Rashi. We'll do it again with Mishnah tomorrow.